press the button. Which episode is this?
Seven?
I don't know. It's probably like episode seven.
I think it's six or seven.
Six or seven.
I had some fans ask me yesterday when we were going to record.
Oh, snap. Fans. Yes. Wow.
It's my mom.
Blessed.
My biggest fan.
Well, my coworkers, a lot of my coworkers actually watch it and are very deeply interested.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Well, because what happened is I work at a facility where it's car stuff, but it's very... it's like tech based.
Yeah,
car
very stuff. Technical.
Yeah, sure.
So like the people that I work with are not car people. They're tech people or cell phone people. Yeah. And they have a lot of like cell phone and tech background.
But not so much car.
But not like so much car.
IC, internal combustion stuff.
So they don't fact check you when you come to work?
No, they just believe me. They believe everything I say. Oh, no. I could tell some of my coworkers that the engine is powered by milk and they'd be like, really?
Or Mr. Fusion.
Right.
Mr. Fusion, yes.
But yeah, no, they are thoroughly they get some joy out of learning.
That's good.
Especially we had a bring your kids to work day and we were doing like a little demonstration on like proper wheel changing and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
oh,
looking
that's cool.
underneath the car, and some of my coworkers are like, we've never seen underneath the car before. You know, which is honestly, you think about it, a lot of people haven't, you know, if they haven't looked at pictures, it's not a common place to be.
Yeah. It's not like you go to In-N-Out and be like, man, I really want to look underneath my car and see what's going on while I eat this cheeseburger.
Right. but
let's get started.
Yeah. So it's the end of the year. It is almost December.
Wow.
And we just had our Thanksgiving holiday. So we're going to talk about some of the cars we are grateful for.
Yay.
Some of the vehicles that we're grateful for this year.
Santa's
coming
wish
out.
List.
And also Santa's wish list, some things that are on the way that we're really excited about. Pretty much just a bit of a reflection and also just what are our car plans for 2025 and what we're excited about, you know, coming up in the new year.
I think I need to pare down in 2025.
Why? Do you have a lot of things that you're excited for next year?
I've got a lot of things I need to do.
Oh, okay.
To keep my fleet of early 90s German cars.
Right. I have been thinking about you, Jeremy. I was looking at garage spaces just the other day, and I was like, oh, Jeremy
this
needs
would be perfect.
Room.
And a lift. Room.
And a lift. Oh, boy.
Well, lifts are easy. Everybody has an extra lift around here they're trying to get rid of.
It's true.
Because they never bolt them into the ground. Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell you how many unbolted lifts are out there.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But names will not be named because this is not that kind of show.
No. No. We'll save that for another episode.
There's a nice place in Redwood City that stores some pretty nice cars. Oh, and none of the lifts are bolted.
Jeremy.
And the lifts aren't bolted. Yeah, we're not going to.
No, because they'll hate us. In any case... so you know what, James, start us off. What are some of the big reveals from 2024, big or small?
Big reveals for 2024
that you were just excited about overall that have started to roll out late this year or maybe coming early next year.
I mean, the new Prius is pretty dope looking.
Was that revealed this year?
Yeah. Was that model year 2024? I mean, it's in production.
Yeah, I think
they're on the road.
Model year 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, the new Prius.
I know what it looks like.
It's the first non-ugly Prius.
Yeah,
it looks
great.
I think it was introduced last year. But
it's 2023?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I was like, no, it's been around for a while. Because Travis has one.
What came out in 2020? The new Porsche 911 Carrera GTS with the hybrid?
Yeah, that was a really
That's
cool
announced,
reveal.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's just starting to hit dealers. The 992
really?
.2s. Yes.
Yep. Oh, snap.
Oh, it sounds like you've
Carrera
been
T?
Looking at this. Oh, yeah, the new Carrera T.
Yeah, that's what excites
T.
me.
So it's, the 992.2
yep.
Carrera T.
Yep.
So what motor does it have?
It has the 3-liter, but it's just the refresh styling and new interior.
Okay. Yeah.
The GTS is its own thing, and it has a new motor. But all of the cars will now get the refresh.
Yeah.
So they're going to get the
higher base price.
Are they going to get the
significantly 3.0? Higher now? Too.
So they're going to get all of them are going to get the hybrid?
No,
just the GTS.
Just the GTS. All That's of the cars weird. Right now have the 3.0. There's been spy shots of the new
Turbo?
The new Turbo. I think it is also a hybrid powertrain, probably similar to the GTS.
Are you serious?
No. Just the GTS has the hybrid turbo. Everything else is, standard.
Just a 3.0 twin turbo or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the new styling. We also had the new GT3 revealed this year as well.
New GT3. Yeah, 992.2 GT3.
Those probably won't start hitting the dealer. I think the biggest thing about it,
like, everybody's like, oh my God, this is the best feature ever, is the headrest removal. I mean, come on, guys. Like, you're paying... How much does the MSRP go
the
up again?
The headrest removal.
Do tell. What's the headrest removal?
So the headrest removal is if you have the carbon buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of time, and I've sat in cars with carbon buckets, is your helmet,
pushes
hits
your head
the
forward.
Back of the headrest, and your head's a little bit forward. So now, like, was it Andy Purginger or whatever, the big daddy godfather of the GT program? Mm-hmm. He's like, look at the new features that we put in, yeah? And he just, like, rips, it's like Velcroed onto the... bucket.
Really?
So you can just like tear it out.
Volvo was doing that.
Here, Jeremy, I'll make it a little bit larger for you. It's not
like the car has another like 40-50K in MSRP increase.
Yeah, significant amount. So the GT3, I want to say, went from...
You're adding Velcro to the headrest?
Yes. So you see here, Jeremy, there's even like the little...
Yeah, there's a little tab there. Yeah, and you like pop it off.
I do like these new seats, though. They're pretty nice.
And they're heated. They're heated now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that means the old folks were complaining.
Yeah. And they made some upgrades to the Touring. Oh.
Where are you gonna drive that thing?
And they put in
where?
Factory.
You're not gonna run to Safeway in that thing.
I would. I have. I mean, not that I've owned a GT3, but I've definitely
You'd
driven.
Be the only person that put miles on their GT3.
I definitely have like taken GT cars to the grocery store and put all of my groceries in the front, and I was probably the coolest person in the parking lot.
I mean, I used
probably
to do that.
Why wouldn't you do that?
That was my only car for like a year.
So exactly. I used James, to go to Safeway.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was a good grocery haul. But for 992.2 GT3, another like really big option that they put in as a factory installed option is rear seats.
Yes,
the
that
amount
is
of
new.
Work and the amount of like. Stuff that they go through to put in rear seats, they're like, oh, we cannot believe we had to put into rear seats based on the consumer feedback, but we did this anyways. And they charge again, like it's like a 60K base increase. It's just so crazy.
That yeah,
crazy.
So I mean, the biggest difference is from .1 to .2, the light bar is now one large piece. There used to be like a little divot in the middle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks nice. So we're looking at Miles's laptop right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're just all staring in one direction.
I know. We're like, oh, what's that? No. I need to think about like our new setup. I've watched some of the other podcast people and they have like a TV. And the TV may not like actually be on, but they project the picture.
Oh, okay.
You know.
We should sit at your kitchen table.
We should, and then like set up a little. We'll revise for next pod. In 2025, we will be in a new spot.
We'll make some upgrades.
Yeah, and we'll have like an active, like, that way I can like just put the little pictures in like a little screen.
Came out in 20? I don't know. It's such a blur. I feel like a lot of cars that we saw at Pebble Beach or not Pebble Beach at...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Waving my phone around.
Go ahead.
Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
M5 Touring.
M5 Touring.
Introduced for 2025 model year. It's a boat. It's a
boat. So I have a buddy who
plug-in hybrid,
who works at corporate BMW,
mm-hmm.
and he likes it. He thinks it's cool.
How much does it weigh? Okay, let's do the specs.
You know,
it's
V8 twin turbo, plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
670 horsepower.
I think I got it here.
Maybe if there's like an overboost mode, like 700 something.
It weighs.
It doesn't really weigh that much. Is that dry?
738 horsepower, actually.
Yes. 738 horsepower.
Yes,
and it's 5,390 pounds.
You know,
which
what?
I mean,
that's
not
that bad nowadays.
It's only 500 pounds heavier than my S class from 1992.
Well, it has a lot more going on, and a significant amount more power.
All-wheel drive, right? It's got a 19 speed automatic.
So what happened? So
it has a fax machine, you know, a satellite uplink.
No, I
to
think
my...
I got rid of the fax machine.
Yeah. So what happened with this car is, so BMW had the XM, And the XM was the V8 hybrid powertrain.
XM, not the...
The car's so fugly.
What's the EV XM?
The BMW iX. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is the iXM.
Yeah.
iX. Stupid.
Yeah, but the XM was also subjective in beauty. I found them to be okay. The price tag was a bit extreme, and a lot of people lost a lot of money on those cars.
It was $195,000, wasn't it?
Probably even more if you spec'd it up to, you know, God lease knows.
It. Huh? Lease it.
Yeah.
Oh, lease perfect, it. Oh, yeah.
Perfect lease. They may even have thrown an EV tax credit at that. But yeah, so the
M5 Touring.
Yeah.
I
wish they brought the M3 Touring.
It's hard
Touring.
To hate on it though, because the enthusiasts forever have said, "Oh, we need the M5 Touring in the US." And they
gave
it.
They're like, "Okay, here it is."
We're all pissing and moaning that it's so heavy.
I think what it is that people were like, "Oh, we want a wagon, right?"
Yeah.
And wagons throughout the years have looked very nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some notable wagon manufacturers, we're going to go Mercedes, Volvo, and Audi, right? Mm-hmm. These people have made awesome
and BMW.
Wagons. And BMW. In recent times, BMW, I'm just talking about for the U.S. market.
Yeah. Okay.
In recent times, you know, BMW design language has just been very unpopular with the people. And then I think they're like, yeah, we really want a wagon, but then they gave them the wagon that they really didn't want. I think the earlier 5 Series wagons, earlier 3 Series wagons would have been much more popular than this probably will be, because that's what the people really wanted under the old design language. Yeah. Like an F80 wagon is like the dream for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be sick.
And then also even a G80 wagon, like the G80 wagon is very popular, the M3 G80 wagon. So... there's watch things happening outside.
Oh, man, there's some impressive parallel parking going on.
It's always tight up here in the city, but...
Well, they're 3 feet off the curb.
Wait, what? A Chevy Corvette SUV?
So I was just going to say, speaking of wagons and SUVs, I think it's going to be the year of hybrid and electric SUVs that some are cool and some are...
Yeah, so we had some pretty big...
Is this like Chevrolet's version of like the Mustang Mach-E? What is that on the Cadillac?
First
Celestique?
Of all, I have not seen any of this stuff yet.
Is that the same platform?
Alpha platform. So it's not some AI.
No, James was also just looking up crazy stuff on Car and Driver. I don't know. But no, it's probably on GM's. So believe it or not, GM has like a shared platform with Honda and Acura, and that car is probably on the same platform. So this is the
Ultium?
Yes, yeah. I think it's the Ultium platform.
Dude, this thing has got a 6.2 liter V8. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, this is a hybrid.
Oh, my God.
We'll see if this actually comes to market.
No way.
Engine choices should range all the way from a turbocharged 4-cylinder up to a supercharged V8.
We'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so all of those cars were also revealed. I want to say Cadillac just revealed a new...
Escalade IQ.
The Escalade IQ.
That
was revealed much earlier this year.
Pull that up. What's that look like?
It's nice looking.
We talked about it in one of our earlier podcasts, but it's actually starting to hit dealers now.
I railed against it because it's got a 200 kilowatt hour battery.
Yeah, we're definitely not saving the planet.
Lucid Gravity is coming.
Gravity. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
The same distance with 112 kilowatt hour battery.
Well, if Lucid was share battery technology, we wouldn't have to keep doing this.
Oh,
shots fired. Sharing is caring, and Lucid is not caring.
Shots fired.
Being highly competitive,
which is good. Like that's the whole point, is to have the proprietary intellectual property and have a competitive edge over your.
I guess that is true of business, but unfortunately, it feeds a lot of greed, which plagues a lot of.
But now you've got the VW Rivian, you know.
That is Sharon is Karen. Okay, let me tell you about Sharon is Karen.
There's not much sharing. It's just more absorption and osmosis than
not
it is
really.
Sharing.
So
who's going to win out of that deal?
Both of them.
Yeah.
Out of that deal came 5.8. Well, let's start
six something.
It came out of
5.8 billion. Right?
It started with $5 billion. Oh, and then it went up to 5.8.
With options to extend.
Yes. And there's a residual amount of money that will go to Rivian every year as long as the relationship,
I mean, that's good,
produces. So what that does, that allows
it keeps Rivian to be keep the lights on.
That keeps, right? Rivian's lights on, yeah. And because Rivian has a better handle on a software defined vehicle, which is something that Volkswagen desires. Volkswagen
struggled with that,
which was the birth of Carrier, but it didn't quite, you know,
birth of what?
Car is like their internal software. It's like,
what's it called?
Carrier. It's a German company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
VW. It's VW. I like, actually,
it's VW. It's their software company.
It's like, gotcha, SAP or something like that, or like,
yeah, Carrier Inc.
The problem, not to get too into it with Carrier, but basically, not great talent software engineers.
Just, they are not good. Essentially automotive software for Volkswagen.
Yeah.
But it's the true relationship, yeah, is to strengthen everybody on all sides to come to create the software-defined vehicle that Volkswagen desires for all of their brands. And that starts with Rivian's lovely architecture that they have. So, yeah, but no. Back to cars. Yep. Out of that birth was the Scout.
The Scout.
Yep, that's true, the Scout.
Yeah.
Volkswagen's first American product, I want to say, yeah.
Like American bought, like VW bought.
Like American nameplate?
Yeah.
Not,
yeah,
just so, built in America?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So,
like the Atlas?
Yeah, those are built in America. Which we also got recently we got a brand new Tiguan reveal, and a lot of people missed out on it.
It looks good.
Brand new Tiguan, yeah, with all of like the Volkswagen's new stuff in it.
Big. Like it looks Taos
big. It does look, yeah, very big. So the Taos is actually smaller than a Tiguan. So you're really? Thinking about,
yeah,
that backwards.
Yeah, the Taos is smaller.
Oh,
yeah.
But the Tiguan...
Oh, I'm thinking of Atlas.
Yes.
Tiguan, yeah. Taos. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the Tiguan is... It looks bigger, but it's actually lighter. Mm. It is more powerful than it ever has been.
What's it got in it?
Just a 2-liter.
The turbo?
Mm-hmm. But they've been getting progressively slower over the years, so it's nice to see that it's finally getting faster.
How much power does it have? 300?
Probably like just over 2 or just right
400
at 2.
PS?
But no, so that was another car that was just revealed that is,
are we going to be overwhelmed with just a bunch of SUVs in 2025?
I think this is the year.
There's a lot of sedans.
Well, the problem is,
what about sports cars?
Sports cars? I mean,
sports cars that have been revealed.
Toyota.
There's supposedly like an MR2 coming out.
So Lexus. The nameplate is returning.
I've seen, yeah, spy shots of the race car variant of this car that
so
you're looking at.
What I'm referring to is the 2025 Lexus Electrified Sport, which looks in the car.
No, I'm thinking of something else. There's cool. there's a GT3 car that Toyota's been working on that's been like spied at the Nürburgring with very similar proportions to that one.
Are they going to race in GT3?
Possibly. Okay. I don't know what the plan is, but yeah. So I guess we could hover back to sports cars that are being revealed.
I'm all over the place.
No, it's okay. This is not a tough one, but it was just an open flowing kind of topic. But yeah, no, these are things, and you know, that we kind of have to look forward to in 2025 is just a bunch of SUVs, sedans that were revealed.
What the heck is this BMW new class?
Oh, the Neue class.
What is explained?
Like their new design language.
Oh, so this is a concept car.
Are they all going to be electrified, or is that just their
it
new
design? It says it's going to be electric. Yeah.
I don't have the inside scoop as far as BMW's
so
architecture for the next.
Neue class was, and it's N-E-U-E. So mm-hmm. That's Neue in German.
Oh, okay.
That's the extent of my German.
M1 inspired Qs.
Neue class was like BMW in the 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're kind of bringing it back again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
And a new platform of electrified vehicles.
Okay.
Interesting.
And I don't know. It's a different design language than we're used to, but better than the current.
So, in line with that, Audi has also. So, is this going to be like a standalone brand from BMW with like a new nameplate, or is it just going to be a different class of vehicle from them?
I'm scrolling through my phone. Sorry, I'm so unprepared.
No, it's fine.
I believe it is. Yeah, it'll be under the BMW name.
Okay.
Oh,
it's new.
Yeah,
platform
it looks like they'll
chassis.
Continue with ICE hybrid and
iX.
EVs.
Oh, here's the Toyota GR GT3 sports car. What the hell?
Oh,
looks like a Looks like a Mercedes SLS.
Sure does.
Well, I mean,
AMG GT or whatever.
So this is the reverse proportions of a 911, where you have a front mid-engine car and you sit on the rear wheels.
Yeah.
Versus the engine sitting on the rear wheels, it's and you being further forward. I just thought the proportions were similar. The long nose.
And, yeah.
But other things that were revealed this year.
Honda Prelude.
Honda Prelude.
Yeah, the Honda Prelude.
That I want to see. I want to see that come back.
I think that'll be exciting.
Honda Prelude.
I do appreciate the manufacturers trying to do a nice sporty sedan or coupe or things like that.
They're going to make it for 2 years. No one's going to buy it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Everybody and it gets wants cut. An SUV.
Yeah, it's just like what it really comes down to.
It looks like a pretty good effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably going to be a hybrid too, I'm assuming.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, features a...
What power will the Prelude?
Based on the Civic, features a hybrid drivetrain. We're hoping that means, this is car and driver speaking, we're hoping that means well over 200 horsepower.
207. It's liars.
Yeah. I don't know. I think with the EVs coming, a lot of people are moving back towards sedans, art sedan culture.
You think?
Just a little, just on the tiniest
it's more
little bit.
Crossover than sedan.
Yeah,
to be
so
honest.
What it is that the SUVs were very large, and now we got like a bunch of affordable compact SUVs, but now people are like, you know, we have to kind of like also still give the people what they want with like a sporty car. I guess the problem is that the typical people that want a sporty car are very much far above the tax bracket of the people looking for just like a normal,
of course,
run
a
of the mill vehicle.
Two car solutions, very
right.
You know,
so what ends up happening is that they have to kind of the one size fits all, and the iPhone generation, where it's like, you know, so we have all these compact SUVs and things of that nature. But going into 2025, I'm hoping to see just more diversity as far as like vehicles, even just the types of SUVs and design language and whatnot. And but unfortunately, it just seems like things just keep getting
honestly
bigger.
I think 99.9% of the country is going to go out and buy like a Toyota Highlander hybrid.
Well, yeah, because it just
it's
works.
Depressing.
You know,
I know it's just the
it's
fact.
Depressing.
You know, everybody is dealing with a bad bag. That's why the 911 has heated seats. The G3 has heated seats.
Everybody's
now
broken.
You know,
and nobody wants their car to depreciate anymore. So they're all going off. You know, even I feel like Toyota is the only brand that has been able to basically keep their car's residual value up, or at least maintain it. Like, I feel like Honda's been sliding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The GMs of the world are just like doing fleet stuff.
Ford, well, they've always been doing that.
Fleet
yeah
stuff. Even like Tesla. Actually, Tesla's been able to kind of maintain some of their residual. Like, even when they bought them out mm-hmm at like 70,000 miles, Tesla Model 3, whatever, rear, you know, single motor or whatever, they mm-hmm still go for like 15, 20 grand.
Yeah,
you know, so
Tesla, I think they've lost their way.
You think so?
Okay, no, I'm going to explain all of this.
Robotaxi.
So Elon Musk doesn't like cars. He
doesn't like humans either.
He just likes progress, and whatever can allot him the progress that he desires, he will do.
What's he want?
He just wants to continue to innovate. So this okay
is to rule the world.
So what happens is
no, he doesn't. He wants to rule Mars.
Right. So well, no, he just has a
by first ruling the United States.
sorry,
Elon Musk.
This is not a political.
Elon Musk
podcast
has a big passion for innovation and pushing forward. So what happened in certain areas, and also
I'm listening.
So what? What the car world of all of this innovation does is he's been able to create an iPhone type product.
True.
At a cost.
Yeah. True.
That has allowed him to do everything else that he wants to do. You know, as far as the SpaceX, as far as the Tesla robots, as far as like all of these other things, you know, he's not building like a car brand for car people. He's building a car brand
for people.
For people to commute and to get from point A to point B so that he can spend money on everything else that he wants to do.
I struggle with the robotaxi.
Why?
What problem does it solve?
It's just a congestion. It's just going to cause more congestion.
It's going to cause more congestion.
I think it's also just him doing whatever he wants.
I don't disagree with
that. And that people eat it up. I mean, look at the Cybertruck. That's just him like, they want something like, I don't really care how a car looks. I don't care how it performs. The people just want something. I'm just going to throw this out here.
Yeah.
And they're going to eat it up. And
it's
what do the people do?
So far in like left field that people are like, I guess it's kind of a counterculture thing, but at the same time, it's like you're driving a meme. Almost.
Yeah, essentially, you're driving a meme on wheels.
It's ridiculous.
All right, enough about Teslas and robots. Back to other cars that were revealed this year.
What else came out?
We got the Corvette Z06.
Zora.
We got the ZR1.
Yeah, the Z06 and Zora aren't out yet, right? They're coming.
No, the Z06 has been out since last year. Sorry. The Zora is... The Zora is...
The V8 twin turbo.
No.
We're losing...
It's a V10 twin turbo?
We're losing subscribers right now.
There is no Corvette Zora yet.
No, yeah, right.
Yeah, no,
it's coming.
They said it's coming.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Not now.
2025 ZR1.
Yes.
Is it out?
And Zora. So the ZR1 has been revealed. People are probably taking orders for them. It also set... I want to say a production car top speed record. No, it didn't set it, but I think it just was really quick. It did 230 miles an hour back and forth at the Oval.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. That's
Germany fast. That Volkswagen Group doesn't let anyone use. I'm pretty sure that's owned by Volkswagen Group. I don't remember who owns it.
Or they sell it.
No, because they wouldn't let Koenigsegg test there.
So how they let... Corvette tested.
They thought that it probably wouldn't do well, and they're like, oh, sure, we'll let this American car come by. If it is owned by Volkswagen, they have been helping out the Americans quite a bit. A lot of the new Ford cars ride on Volkswagen's MEB platform.
Is that because Volkswagen needs revenue streams? Because they're probably
different
right
revenue
now?
Streams.
I mean, I don't think GM probably paid them that much money to use the Oval.
I will say this rendering of the Zora looks badass.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be dope.
Yeah. I would drive it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, but so the Zora, if that's officially what it's going to be called, I'm pretty sure it will have it will have the powertrain.
What's the new Ferrari that came out?
There's two. Three.
Oh, there's two?
Three.
Three? What do we got? We got the 8. We have the 812 replacement.
Durka. So it's not owned by VW. It's owned by Durka. I've never heard of this place.
Oh, Durka?
Decra?
Decra, yeah.
Oh, Decra's a certification.
OEM. Yeah. Aren't they an OEM provider?
High speed oval track in Europe known as the Lutz. I cannot say that.
The Lutzkuskring?
No. I'm trying to make sure this is the same one I'm thinking about. But in any case, yes, Corvette went there with the ZR1. And set some nice top speeds.
That's cool.
Both ways.
Where are the three Ferraris that came out?
The V12, so the Ferrari 12-cylinder.
Telesandre or whatever?
No, Dodici.
Alessandro. Alessandro.
Dodici. Cilindre.
Yeah.
Which just means 12-cylinder.
Yeah.
We also got the Ferrari F80.
Which is the new hypercar.
Which is Ferrari's new hypercar, which everybody's very
V6,
sad about.
Twin turbo.
It's a twin turbo V6. I love it. I think the car is absolutely gorgeous.
It looks like a Senna.
If I had...
It looks like a McLaren Senna. It's my opinion.
They have those...
Have you seen one, Jeremy?
I don't think so. I've seen some of the
Let me pull
new
up the photos.
Language, and I have to agree.
I'm very passionate about this
McLaren-ish.
Car.
It's very engineering designed in a wind tunnel type of car.
Here we go. Nice clear photo. Let me get a nice
and it's
large.
Supposed to be
looks
based...
like a Corvette from this distance.
Oh my god.
Right. C2 Corvette.
Oh my god. Hold on. Jesus. I didn't need all of this. I just want to see the pictures.
Wow.
It's based on the
guys, I pulled up the Ferrari website, and if you've been to the Ferrari website anytime soon, you will know that it's very extreme. But yeah, so this is the new Ferrari F80.
Okay.
You know what it looks like? It looks like a Lego Technique. You know, like the I'm serious.
Right.
It looks like a Lego.
You know what? I don't think that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
I think
no.
It's cool. I like it.
I think this is a gorgeous car.
Although I do see McLaren Senna.
Yeah, like the front and then the side skirts and stuff.
And I see kind Lego. Of,
I don't really and see Lego Senna in this, but
in the headlights.
I mean, if
I
they
think
had,
it's just the headlights. If I'll pull up a pull Senna up, and you're gonna be Senna. Like,
you gotta this. Flash this on the screen. All these cars.
No, I always do.
I know.
What's the third Ferrari that came out?
Will you flash a Lego?
I think that was it. I think it was just those two. So this is a Senna.
That's not the new Ferrari?
No, it's not.
Come on, guys. Like, no. If you're gonna develop a car in a wind tunnel, pretty much every car is gonna look the same.
They do look right? similar
based on laminar flow, thermal, you know, like aerodynamics and how much power it's gonna make, downforce that they want to do.
It doesn't help that they're both in the same color.
The other one was orange, that was red.
What's the third
one? Red?
Yes, that's red.
No. That red is Ferrari Rosso Orangio Orangina, and it costs like $500,000 to get the paint scheme.
What's the third Ferrari? I think it was just these two. I don't think I'm missing any others. I might be. But in any case, these were the two that I was excited about. I really, really like this car, but I just, you know, I almost feel bad for the Ferrari. I mean, not that the Ferrari people care, because the Italians are very nonchalant, and I really appreciate that about them. But I don't know. I really like everything about this car. And I know everybody was really sad that it didn't have a V12. And I think also everybody was very, very, very kind of upset that this isn't a traditional Ferrari in the sense that it's heavy on aerodynamics. And everybody likes to quote the original Ferrari quote of, you know, if you have to put aerodynamics in the car, it's a crappy car, however the quote
goes.
Yeah,
it's like making up for something else.
Right, and it was something that Ferrari would always pride themselves on, is that they never needed a car that needed aerodynamics.
But at the same time, Enzo Ferrari was also using like inboard brakes for like years until Jaguar kicked his ass with the E-Type with outboard brakes. And then he switched, like the next year, he switched to outboard brakes too.
Didn't Jaguar also use inboard brakes on the E-Type?
Not for their race cars, not for like the XJ. Yeah, yeah.
So it's a twin turbo V6.
Twin turbo V6. So it is, the engine comes directly from
the 919.
You know, I can think of another 919.
No, I'm sorry. It comes from Ferrari's LMDH car. So yeah, their hyper car.
That's that competed against the 919. I forgot what it was called. The 296? 296?
No, it's an SP.
SP3?
In history.
Two?
No.
There was another V6 powered supercar that Senna was involved in.
Are you talking about the XJ220?
No.
V6 twin turbo?
Well, not twin turbo. The original NSX.
Oh, the original, right, with the with the Accord V6.
Yeah. Ayrton Senna was involved in that car.
Yeah.
No, what is
Speaking I love
the relationship between Senna and McLaren and this Ferrari that
looks like
a
McLaren. Yeah, there we go.
499.
499.
That is their
not 919.
That's their Le Mans prototype car, but essentially
the
engine comes from this car. And the design kind of also like is
similar.
Not similar, but it's coming as close as it can as a street car as to this. But in racing, as racing has evolved, as car companies have evolved, things are going to change. And I think it's good to have change. I think if you become too set in your ways, you become stagnant. And yes, the people love it, you know, but then you run the risk of the people becoming bored.
Yeah.
Somehow the Porsche customers have not become bored, but I think they're getting to a point.
Because now they've got new headrests that are removable and heated seats.
Right.
I think the Ferrari is...
It's bad. Yeah, it's awesome.
And I think...
Would drive.
Exactly. And it won, too. It won twice.
Mm-hmm.
But it cheated, so we're not going to get into that.
We did talk about it on one of our previous podcasts.
That's right.
It cheated. I did not forget.
Oh, my God. It cheated so bad.
But yeah, so, you know, those are some of the 2024 releases in it. You know, unfortunately, all of the super sporty stuff is reserved for the people who can afford it. We're stuck with high-performance SUVs and EVs and whatnot.
But things like, you know, the Prelude coming back, and I think Toyota's announced the Celica nameplate will come back.
Yes.
Really?
Whether Celica? Not 25, but 26.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some more... parallel parking cars leaving. Sorry. There's more affordable like sports cars.
Yeah, that will be coming. I would like
for the masses in the next few years.
I would like to see in like 2025.
Well, like the Celica,
MR2.
You know, there's always cars like the GR86, Subaru BRZ.
Well, yeah. I don't know if those are surviving, but the Supra is dying.
Whoa! The Supra is dying.
Yeah,
but the Z4 isn't. Ooh.
What?
Yeah, Z4.
Explain.
We should have a camera on this. We could include it in the
podcast. Explain why the Supra is dying.
No, it's just the end of the line for it.
Really?
That's all.
Oh, and the Nissan. Oh, okay, the Nissan GTR. The Takumi edition. That's done.
Leaving us.
That left?
I mean, it should.
How old is it? It's like 13 years old.
No, but it's older than that. Nissan it's GTR is
five.
Is a good example of.
I thought it was 09.
No, it was 09, James.
Really?
It was 09.
You sure? Still 15 years ago. That's a good long run.
Yeah, for the exact same car to be reproduced over and over again. Really with no changes. I know I hate on 911s, but the GTR had minor changes all of the years.
Have you ever driven one? I've never driven one.
No, and I've actually been thinking about one quite a bit lately.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they're still kind of expensive.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So they have the 911 tax, but... I say that just in how they didn't change the formula, but it continues to be an expensive car. I think because they are really good in a lot of different areas. Funny enough, you will never see GTRs at the racetrack. They're very few and far between at the racetrack. I've only seen like one or two of them. Why like ever.
There's some time attack ones.
Yes, at the high level, but... number one, when Nissan came out with that car, it was highly engineered and had like a severe amount of computers in it. So to get around that,
kind of ahead of its time, yeah.
Right, very much so. But it was still in a time where things were still very analog and people appreciated all of this very driver feeling. I remember all the early articles were like,
it's so numb.
Yeah, because it was doing so much for you. Like it was too good. You know, it became too good at what it did. Which was always but the GTRs were always like every year, every generation of GTR became more and more advanced.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So for the R35 to be what it was, it was exactly what it was supposed to be. And I think that's probably why it was also able to last so long. But the reason that you don't see them turning corners is because people really believed in them going fast. The platform was perfect for the Texas 2K tomfoolery.
But they did race it like GT3 racing for a brief period of time, you know?
But the ones on the street were doing a lot of straight line stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that also just came to it being a heavier car. So the wheelbase on it is like kind of long for what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't really notice this until you like see one sideways and you're like, that's actually
kind of long.
But the overhangs are really short, but the wheelbase is really long, which is good. You know, for handling purposes.
It's got transaxle.
Yeah, oh, it does. The very first ones, I had a boss that worked for Nissan. The very first ones would destroy first gear because the launch control was so aggressive. So they had to dial it back.
too much boost.
But yeah, unfortunately, as the year closes out, we are going to lose a couple of cars this year.
You think maybe in a few years we'll see in... R36 GTR come back?
No, I don't think they're going to bring it back.
It's done.
Yeah. I think what will happen is because car companies think so much far ahead, they probably thought about this. It will probably... So what's going to happen for a lot of auto manufacturers, I think Porsche is very ahead of the game on this, is the hybrid sports car. It's the hybrid sports car, the hybrid supercar. And even Audi is kind of getting in on this. So we don't get them here. But the new Audi A5 and S5 have a hybrid powertrain, a plug-in hybrid powertrain.
Okay.
And it is rumored, I mean, you can pretty much tell from the spy shots, all of the electric prototype vehicles, no matter the brand, you have to put a triangle on them to people know that they are electrified in some sort of way, especially if you have any kind of high-capacity battery.
Yeah.
For racing?
No, just... like triangle. Just driving. So if you've ever seen like a prototype and it has any kind of electrification to it,
it's got like a little zap, like a lightning bolt on it or whatever.
Like any kind of camouflage car. So those have been seen running around and they have like the big lightning bolt on it. So it's rumored that those will also have a plug-in hybrid powertrain, okay, similar to the new S5, to kind of compensate, you know, to get that power, but then also for the person who doesn't particularly care, but I want good gas mileage, you know. So I think what we'll
or has range anxiety
or has range anxiety.
I have range anxiety.
So I think in the coming next year, I think we'll see more from automakers as far as like these hybrid, like really getting back to like making good hybrid, you know, cars. And I'm hoping to see more hybrid sports cars.
I think you're probably right. What are your thoughts on the electrified Boxster and Cayman?
I've heard two rumors. One is they pulled back, hey, we're going to fully electrify the Cayman and Boxster. Mm-hmm. And then I heard, oh no, we're going to have like a hybrid plug-in hybrid thing. And now it's just like...
So what's coming and what are your thoughts on
it? I have no idea. As far as like it being fully electric, I really would be excited for more electric sports cars. I like driving.
The GT4 e-Performance at...
If I had the money to purchase Laguna one of those Seca, and Porsche would sell me one, cool. I would drive the wheels off the car. And I have this thing about being the underdog. And I think it would be really fun to be the person at the track day, be the person in the canyons with an electric car and just be able to outdo everybody, but also have the skill
and fly off the mountain because brakes give out.
Well, I mean,
I'm an underdog. Braking.
Right.
You don't even need your brakes.
No. And I think it'd be exciting.
Until you do.
I think it'd be really exciting to start seeing more, electric sports cars, you know, actual proper electric sports cars. So I hope that Porsche does a really good job with the Cayman EV, that it kind of stirs all of the other car companies to say that, no, hey, you know, we can do this. We can have a fun electric sports car that is, you know, it might be slightly on the heavier side just because of battery technology, but my center of gravity is good. My driving is, you know, good. But I mean, it all depends on how they do. If they drive good, it's not like Porsche's had extreme sound anyway. They sounded like vacuums for all of eternity.
That's true.
People aren't buying Porsches because of how they sound. People buy they buy GT3s because of how they sound.
Yeah, true. No, you're right there. They're not buying 718s because of how they sound.
No,
right.
They're driving 718s because it was an affordable sports car. And now, granted,
affordable is relative.
italics. It was an affordable mid-engined car. Let me say that.
A 986 was an affordable mid-engine car. The 718.
By today's standards and the technology that you're getting, because even the new 718s, they don't even have, you know, the six cylinders. They have the four cylinders.
Four banger, right. Yeah.
You know, you have to option up a six cylinder, but people are still buying the four bangers left and right because they want a Porsche, you know,
it's
sports
car.
It's a good car.
It's a good car.
They're fun to drive, too.
I think as the Boxster did in the 90s, I hope that the new Cayman and Boxster can do the same for the small, you know, the small sports upper sports car segment. So,
I'm trying to imagine like the persona of somebody in the market for a fun mid-engined, regardless of if it's an ICE or electrified vehicle, because. What's the range? What's the predicted range on the Boxster?
Nobody knows.
200.
I don't think it's.
Let's say it's 200 miles.
Mm-hmm.
200 miles. I'm a dentist.
Which is pretty.
I'm a dentist. My practice is doing well. I want a second fun car to like hang out with my mistress in. Do I go into the Porsche dealership and say, "Hey, instead of buying a new Cayenne or Macan EV, I want something fun that's the Boxster or Cayman EV"?
Mm-hmm.
Who else am I going to compete with?
Nobody.
BMW's not going to have a sports EV.
I mean, not that we know of. Nobody, Nissan, Toyota. Right now has a sporty two-seater EV anywhere.
Lamborghini.
Yeah. Not at all.
Tesla's rumored the Roadster, but I think they're going down the path of the robo-taxi.
Exactly. Instead. So, you know, that's two doors so, we're going to get. But no,
two-seat.
Exactly.
No steering wheel.
Exactly.
Jesus.
No, brilliant. it would be the only car in this segment until
I'm just trying to imagine like who would want like a all electric sports car.
So back to Jeremy's or somebody said something about 200 miles is low.
Yeah, yeah.
I did.
How many mpg are you getting in your Boxster?
25?
You bring up a good point. 19? I have no idea, and I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I buy an electric sports car, it doesn't matter. Can I make it to where I'm going? Can I get to a charger?
To my mistress's house? Can I make it back to my dental
I can pull
practice?
Up to her house in silence now. Can't even hear me coming. In the thick of the night.
I think...
They have to make noises at low speeds, right?
Yeah, but it's way quieter than anything.
It will pipe
up in a V8 supercar.
They are going to pipe, you know, just like the Taycan. It's going to pipe, you know, engine noise or whatever.
At the low speed noise they do. And actually, I'm not going to lie, guys. This is something that's happening for 2025. At least on the Audi side, they're getting louder. EVs are probably just as loud running as a traditional car.
It's just the motors themselves?
No, just the piped sound.
The sound that they're piping in.
Yeah, not to change the subject, but speaking of loud cars that I think are dying in 2025, one of my neighbors cranked up his Charger Hellcat Demon 392.
Yeah. That was also
at like 7 o'clock this morning.
This year, the new Charger.
That's gone.
Jackass. EV.
Yeah.
EV. Yeah, the Challenger. It's not the Challenger. It's a Charger, but it's a two-door.
As it always was. As it always was.
So, they're throttling back, though. Are they going to bring the ICE version out before the EV?
Yes, and I think... No. Because people are already picking up the EVs.
Oh,
they're at the dealers now.
Oh,
wait,
I want to see one. It looks pretty cool.
Pull that up. Pull that up, Johnny.
I mean, we might just have to go to a Dodge dealer
today. When you push
the
start button, does it sound like a Hemi?
I think if you have like the option set on or whatever.
Does it sound like your friend's charger that starts up at 7 a.m.?
That's the pedestrian safety feature.
The pedestrian.
I'm a juvenile delinquent.
They pushed up. Oh my goodness. I got to put Dodge in front of this. They pushed up the production of the Hurricane ones.
The Hurricane is the V6 engine?
Yes. I really want to say that at least in Michigan, I've started to see people with
the new Intrepid. It's the new Dodge Intrepid, that car was fast.
The Intrepid was cool.
Yeah.
In its day.
Yeah.
The Hurricane, is that replacing the Pentastar?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Because the Pentastar
was the Pentastar?
Old, such an old engine. Yes,
but it's
all
reliable though.
Actually,
unkillable.
Until the oil filter housings
look at that.
Like crack and break.
Oh, never mind.
Other oil.
Oops.
So Sunnyvale, there's one in Sunnyvale. There's two here
but
in Colma.
How much is it? $70,000?
This is the Daytona.
What?
I wonder if they got it already. I'd totally love to go look at one of these
today.
Let's
go look.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd have to
Scat
go see.
Pack?
But,
I'm sorry.
Scat
no,
pack
this is... the. It looks like a complete reskin of the Challenger. Look at the body lines.
Well, that's kind of...
Is that the whole point?
It is, right?
I mean, it's a Dodge Charger,
it's new, right?
Yes, but it's literally what the Dodge Charger should have always looked like. Because
kind of like a Challenger?
No, the
sorry,
that no, because the
Miles
original
is going to kick me off the podcast.
No, well, because you know the original Dodge Charger was always a two door, long kind of But and then the Challenger actually looks, if we want to pull out all of my American heritage in one day, the Challenger looked like a CUDA. You know, that was the car that it was closer to. And the headlights, the taillights, the shape, because the CUDAs had really long hoods, really short cabins, you know, and a really short deck. That's what the Challenger looked like.
Yeah.
You know, so that was more in line with a CUDA. They just didn't call it that. I have no idea why. It probably would have helped the people like say, actually no it was I'm pretty sure the Challenger just looks like an old Challenger. Hold on, because if we go back,
yeah, I think it does,
because Challenger wasn't a new nameplate. I'm sorry guys, I'm not a classic.
Do you think Stellantis will bring that to NASCAR?
I'm not crazy,
so
I'm
we
sorry,
got
guys.
Who's in NASCAR?
I'm not
Camaro,
an old
we've got Camaro, we've got
Camry,
yeah dog,
yeah
Camry, you got Mustang, right?
Mach-E or just
no Mustang.
But back to what I was saying to clear up what I was. Challenger was always a nameplate for the Dodge brand. I'm not an American classic car person, but no, the Challenger looked like a Challenger.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So now the new Charger just looks more like
an original Charger.
Yes,
which was two door.
Exactly. Yeah. But they also have a four door version of this, which also looks really good because it really gets those really long proportions that the original Chargers had. But yeah, so this was also something that was revealed that's also coming to dealers. And this is the only rival to the Cayman as far as a two-door sports car EV. And its highest trim level, this makes 700, I think, like 700 something horsepower.
That's interesting. It's also, isn't it a like hatchback liftback?
It is. It is a hatchback.
Oh, it's a hatchback.
And a very well integrated hatchback at that. Because so if you look at the lines are like
shit in it. I don't know. Are we allowed to say that?
It looks like what?
Yeah, I said you can put a lot of shit in
it. Oh, no, you put like everything in this because the rear seats fold down too.
So first, you can steal it, probably, right? Still steal it pretty quickly.
I don't think people are going to be stealing these like they were stealing the gas ones. Thank God.
And then you can rob people more and put more stuff in it.
Actually, speaking of stealing an electric vehicle, yesterday my wife and I went out to run some errands, and I dropped her off to get her haircut, and I had to go somewhere else.
Okay.
And I left and drove the Ioniq 5 2 miles away. She had the key.
Oh, wow.
And when I parked and turned the car off, it's like, oh, you don't have the key, so we can't turn back on.
Like, yes. This has been a problem with push-button start cars since the inception.
Yeah.
Typically, when the key leaves the vehicle, it...
I think it beeps at you.
So the Volkswagen Group have single-handedly fixed this problem.
How
have they done that?
If you check out the new ID4,
a little VW man comes out of the car and says, Achtung, you have left the keys in the car. Come back and get them.
No. Okay. Sorry.
What actually happens is it's sit to start.
Sit to start.
So you don't have to hit the push button at all. You just get in the car and it's ready to go.
Oh, it's not.
That's Tesla. Tesla did that like 10 years ago.
But you know, the thing is that more people are now adopting it, and it allows you to not leave the key. So like, if you get out of the car automatically shuts.
How does it know it's you? How does it know it's the right person to turn on? Like, not nobody.
Because you still have the key on you. So if the key leaves the car, it won't turn on when you sit in it to go.
But what if it's already on?
It'll turn off as soon as you stand up, as soon as you get up. No matter whether you use the button to turn it on or not, it will always turn off whenever you stand up.
I was not holding the key to the car, but I was driving the car.
But
I think it gave me an audible warning that I ignored because I thought. There was this old lady in this massive expedition that was like going to back into me.
Oh, shit. So you're like trying to pull out of there.
I'm trying to get out of there. And I think it did beep.
And it was like, hey, your key is walking away from the car.
Yeah.
In that case, I think once new cars, the car goes into park as long as you're not in drive when a door opens. And then in that case, when you would try to go back to drive, it'd be like, you can't because there's no key. And then you would be like stuck there until the key came back to you.
Well, in this case, I could have driven the car
forever.
The available range, 200 miles, I think, is what it had on it.
And then you would have been
committed crimes.
Because it's a new car, I'm sure Hyundai, Kia, I'm almost 100% positive. They have some sort of cell phone key app, you know, my users.
So there's a cell phone key app to lock and unlock it, but not
to start it. Oh, you can't use it to start the car?
Maybe in fancier versions, but we got the base.
You can start your Tesla with a phone, can't you?
Yeah.
You got a Tesla?
No, I'm just saying
in
general.
Can, yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think you can.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah. You know what they need to bring back? They need to bring back the Ford, the key panel.
Ford has not gotten rid of that, by the way.
Yeah.
They still have that?
I was testing
Expedition and stuff?
I was testing a Nautilus not too long ago, which is a fantastic Chinese-built car, by the way.
I was going to say, Nautilus, it's like a glorified Escape, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if that got revealed this year, but... The interior quality. Let me see. I think that car came out this year. We're going to talk about.
It's funny you mentioned that. Another car that I think it died in 2023 or 2024. The last Lincoln Continental.
Yeah.
Because nobody bought it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pretty nice car.
They're
dirt cheap.
Was it a crossover?
Okay, no, it did come out this year. So we're going to talk about
it. No, it was a car.
Yeah.
Sedan?
Yeah. Oh. Which car, Jeremy?
Lincoln Continental.
Oh, no, it was a gorgeous car.
Yeah, beautiful car.
All the way down to the suicide door special that they made. They only made like 300 of them.
Are you serious?
And you've never seen one out
in
the world.
I don't understand.
But it was a gorgeous car.
Why was it such a flop?
Because everybody wants an SUV.
Well, no. Because it was competing in a segment that it had been out of for years. Unfortunately... BMW, Audi, and Mercedes have cornered the market on the large limousine sedan. So S-Class 7 Series and A8 have held that market for eternity and probably will until the end of time. So the Lincoln Continental was competing in that market, and its base engine was a four-cylinder, which it would have done fine in Europe, you know, because they all have four-cylinder versions of these cars in Europe.
Yeah.
But over here, it either had to be a V8 or a V12, you know, or a twin-turbo V6, which the Lincoln did have. It had a twin-turbo V6.
Yeah.
But the architecture was wrong. It was a front-engine-based, you know, V6.
Yeah.
I want to say, I don't think it was a rear-wheel drive-based car. I think you could only get it in all-wheel drive. Or it would be front-wheel drive if you didn't get all-wheel drive.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to drive one. And the if you've ever been in a new Lincoln, same thing with like this new Nautilus that I was going to talk about, they have 32-way or like 30-way power adjustable seats.
It's pretty coffin-like too.
And
it's like very insulated.
Like, I know that seems crazy. Like, I don't need 30 adjustments on the seat. But even if you use 8 of those adjustments, the seats contour to you very well. Mm-hmm, it's really, really nice. And it was great. It was a really good car. I think it just couldn't hold up to its German counterparts, unfortunately. And especially nobody wanted to spend the money.
How much was it?
It wasn't ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. They weren't ridiculous.
Probably like 60 or 70 for like the top of the level. When you're going for like 20,000 now.
20 grand now.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. With, you know, not too bad mileage.
Right. So the new Nautilus is a Chinese-built Lincoln thing.
It's Chinese-built?
I'm pretty sure they built these in China.
Really?
Yeah. And the 2024 Nautilus got a complete redesign for this year, and it is wonderful. The only thing I don't like about it is the brakes. But yeah, so this is the exterior, Jeremy, and then the real star of the show is this
big
new
screen.
Interior. So it has a 40-inch window-to-window curved display.
So that is nice. And this is where we are. It's who can put the longest
screen. The biggest
display.
So the Cadillac IQ also has this. It has a 55-inch window-to-window display.
Is that just because it's wider than the Lincoln?
You watch the new Mission Impossible movie on
so
that screen?
What's really nice is when I was driving this... So the steering wheel, as you can see, is a little squished.
No, it's a squirkle.
Yes, I love
that's what it's
I
called?
Love squirkles. Audi has a new squirkle, and I love their squirkle.
Lucid Gravity has a squirkle.
Lucid Gravity has a squirkle.
I like squirkles.
So there's an advantage to the squirkle in visibility when your screen is higher than that.
So this is really interesting. So Lincoln does a very different take than Audi. So Audi's squirkle is large, and because like it's like boxed off at the top, it gives you like really nice gauge view versus like the circle cutting off, you know, certain parts of the gauges. This is the opposite. It's squished so you can see over it to see where your actual instrument cluster is. But as you can see, zoom in a little bit on this picture, everything, oh my goodness, the ads are in the way.
Jessica is online. She can help you.
The AI bot to convince you that a 40-inch screen is helpful.
So what's really nice is, so this is what Cadillac and Lincoln have moved towards, and I'm going to explain this. This is something that is kind of, this is what's coming in 2025 for a lot of auto manufacturers.
Everybody's moved
towards. Yeah, so this is the problem. So you have to rethink how this works. So this screen is not touchable. It's too far away to have any type of interaction.
So it's all your, like, your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what this is the center screen becomes a remote.
Okay.
So you can still do stuff here. You can still see information here. But it is now the remote for the larger screens. You know,
for the larger screens, are those adjustable? Can you
make
it display certain
things?
You
can have a very minimalistic look where there's nothing here and just your speedometer. Or you can have a lot of information. So as you can see, this is completely seamless. So you can have Apple CarPlay, Android, you know, Auto, Google Maps running side by side in the instrument cluster, which is like really, really hard to do for certain auto manufacturers. But finally, we're starting to kind of see this more standard. And like all of this information, you have like the weather over here, time, clock, which is very important to American buyers to have like all of this stuff very just visible at all times.
What, you know, your Joe Rogan podcast or whatever?
So up here, we didn't play around with it too much. I don't think you can actually have like, I don't think there's video streaming up here.
Is it because it's a distraction?
To the driver.
Probably.
But you remember they used to be played like DVDs?
Yeah, so I had a Hyundai Genesis that when it was in park, it would play DVDs on the screen.
Right, so when you're in park, you probably have more video. Because everybody kind of likes this curved display, what Audi has done in the new Audi Q6, which is something we also got this year, you have your main driver and infotainment display, and it's curved towards the driver, but mm-hmm. then the passenger gets a passenger mm-hmm. infotainment display. Mm-hmm. And when you're driving, it grays out the passenger display, so you can't see it.
Isn't that how the Taycan is?
Yes, it's the same technology, same company.
So this is
But then also luxurious. Jeep Grand Cherokee does this as well, because it's like, we understand that the passengers need more to do.
Their phone's not enough.
Not enough, apparently. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to hold the phone.
It could be a safety thing, too. They don't want the airbag going off in some way. Like watching Instagram or whatever.
Right. And then at least with the screen, they all are like super capable these days. You know,
I'd like my screen to display like a wood grain.
I'm pretty sure you could. I'm pretty sure you could make that happen. But yeah, this is what we're getting. So look forward to big screens in 2025. And if not big panel screens, just really, really big center screens. I want to say the center screen in the new Tiguan is like a 15-inch display. And we could all have Tesla to thank for
Tesla
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Model S... In the Model S had a really nice integration of it. Yep. It was lower, but now all of the screens kind of sit on the dash like a tablet. Same thing with the new Golf.
Yeah.
All of these cars have this kind of tablet like stuck up on there. I've had the opportunity to drive a lot of new vehicles with these types of displays.
You like it?
I prefer the pano style display. I really like how BMW has their pano. I like
how BMW does it. Pano
and Audi. I feel like everybody can kind of use that and do like their own design.
I like the Lucid one.
Yeah. Or, you know, even how it is in like the Porsches, you know, you have a nice kind of curved display. And that is harken back to how the Porsches used to be with all the gauges right in front of you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that kind of driver-centric.
Wraps around, yeah.
Right. So, you know, I do appreciate a driver-centric, like a driver-focused cabin. And I realize this because...
Who has the worst one?
The worst, like...
That's
new infotainment.
I feel like Mercedes has the worst one.
No, actually, Mercedes probably. I really want to get my hands on a new Mercedes,
like the EQ or whatever. I drove a.
So the
EQ.
They have three different. They have two different styles of interiors. So the EQ interior,
that's the all electric sedan, right?
Yeah.
But they all have the same interior. So the EQ interior is one flat panel that looks like a T. So you have instrument cluster, this really big center screen, and then like passenger infotainment. I think they have a passenger infotainment, but essentially it's like this kind of, you know, it's like it spreads out and up like this, right?
Yes.
But then if you don't get an EQ car in a Mercedes, you have a typical nice gauge cluster that's rounded in an oval, or you get like a square style screen. I can't quite remember. As an instrument cluster, but then you have a vertical center stack display that is somewhat floating, but it's way lower than what all the other auto manufacturers are doing. So versus like me sitting in the car and I'm reaching here for infotainment, Mercedes is at a much more comfortable, like
relaxed.
Yeah, I'm here doing most of my adjustments and changes. You know what? I'll pull up the new interior of the new.
Their gauges are digital though.
Yes, yeah. But it's still in a distraction. Gauge. But
have
still...
you driven? Have you driven a latest Mercedes?
I haven't.
It's got so many like video cameras and screens and navigation. There's like 8 arrows pointing in 9 different directions.
Here we go, Jeremy. So you can kind of see exactly what I'm talking about. Oh no, I don't want a video. I just want to see a picture. We'll just zoom in here.
Yeah.
But I really like this. I think Mercedes probably does this the best.
It's kind of first gen Model S, kind of.
Yeah, but you know this works because even with like the new. Go ahead.
The GT63. That's not a 4-cylinder, is it?
They made a 4-cylinder, yes.
So, but it's not called a 63. So the new AMG GT, which was also released this year, we can talk about that. We're running low on time, but. We'll chat it up really quick. We'll finish out with new Mercedes stuff.
I think it looks like ass.
I think it's a really good
looking
car.
Look how much stuff is on the steering wheel.
Oh, what, in here?
Oh, my God.
I think Mercedes has a really pretty steering wheel.
It's like a PlayStation 5 controller.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I like the airbag with the big emblem in it. But
Mercedes has a very premium looking steering wheel, so which a lot of the other automakers are kind of failing at right now. Let me explain all of this. They're building cars. Automakers are building cars for the future.
Okay.
I am a young person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, you and then another 10 years after this.
You want to pick up one of those?
No. I'm just explaining to you. I'm just explaining to you. They're catering to The kids who grew up with this. The kids who grew up with this.
Okay.
The kids who have been on iPad, cell phones, and things for... I work at a facility where I deal with a lot of this stuff. And unfortunately, a lot of the people I work with are much older than me.
Are you accusing me of being an old man?
Yeah, wait a minute.
So wait, let me finish. So the people who are older than me don't pick up on this as quickly. Not because they can't, but because they haven't used this their entire lives.
Okay. James, old people are slow.
So what happens is that a young person can get in this car, they can turn every knob, they can adjust everything, they know everything. Do everything super quick.
But there are
quick,
no knobs.
And they're very tactile, even just with all the touch controls.
Okay.
You know, they pick up on it really quickly. Yeah. You know, it's really funny because we do a lot of testing, you know, and it's like I'm doing certain things that people who are older than me, like it's just like that.
It's more
like
intuitive for you.
For somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just more intuitive. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So they're building it for the next generation of people who are going to be like, oh, nope, this works. I can get it here. I can do all of this. I know how to use all the features. I'll turn it off, turn it on, boom, boom, boom. You know, and it becomes very appealing and very alluring to the new buyer and the new young person who has all of the money to get into these things, you know, which is quite a few of them these days, especially with all of the young people now having money from being influencers and having a media presence and
Bitcoin,
you know, and using these cars. And, you know, it's like grandma wants a new car. You know, the grandson's gonna be like, oh, it does all this stuff. And grandma's like, well, I guess I could buy that. And then now grandma's convinced because the kids know so much about it.
Are
you
we influencers?
Maybe we'll make it there one day. But as of right now, we're just having fun.
Okay, good.
And I hope that when we make it there, then we'll still be having
fun. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is Mercedes. And yes, so this car has three different versions. You have a twin... No. Hold on. There is a four-cylinder version.
That's just wrong.
There is a inline six-cylinder version.
Oh, there's an inline six?
There is a twin-turbo V8 version.
That's okay.
And there is a twin-turbo V8 plug-in hybrid version that makes a total of like almost 800-something horsepower.
Oh, wow. Just wrong in that.
Well, a lot of people... I haven't looked at the specs, but I've been hearing a lot of things.
I'm sure it's got great specs.
Mercedes-Benz four-cylinder, their debut big four-cylinder came out in the AMG A45. And it was very similar to the Toyota three-cylinder. It had 100 horsepower per cylinder, and it was a 400 horsepower four-cylinder.
I think at one point it was like the most powerful
four-cylinder. It was the most powerful four-cylinder.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mercedes does know how to make a good four-cylinder.
I can't argue that.
And with things becoming more and more, you know, electrified, and the people need sound, but these automakers have to meet these requirements, you know, it really pushes the engineers to innovate these exciting cars out of almost nothing. They're like, okay, like I got this to work with. Let me do the most that I can. And I don't know if you've ever heard any of the new Mercedes-Benz 53 or like 43 stuff from the six cylinders or four cylinders. They sound great.
Yeah.
You know, they're still very grumbly, still very like unique sounding. So I think it is very much so.
20, 30 years down the road when like, well,
robots are running the world.
Trying to think how old I'll be 20 or 30 years down the road. But the buyer 20 or 30 years down the road, like me with my S-Class, do you think it'll be easier to work on because it's a four-cylinder and it's small? Or is it just incredibly complicated?
You know what? Four-cylinders can't get that complicated. I think it'll honestly be fine because it can only be so big.
Yeah.
Easier, you know, there's like... The biggest thing is just turbo technology. Turbo technology, tuning, and combustion. That has not changed. They just learned how to do it better.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger thing for all of the new cars is the hybrid electric system.
I think that's
going to
be the
big problem. And actually, if you want to be completely honest, the hybrid cars are more difficult to work on than the
plug-ins?
The plug-ins, because, you know, you've seen a plug-in completely tore down, Jeremy. There's not much happening there. It's swap out the component, put in a new one. You know, plug it up.
There's high voltage safety considerations.
Right. That's the biggest hurdle. You know, the biggest hurdle for the mechanic side of things is that the huge hurdle for all new cars is software and software development, where now everybody now has to become an IT person, which forces the entire nation to grow up and forces all of these mechanics to become more technologically advanced, because it's going to be so much more complicated than running a test plan.
But to your point, maybe with the generation that they're building for now,
the new mechanics and things you would hope would also have this new skill level.
Well, one, they could have self-diagnosis.
It comes more naturally.
Yeah.
It could have like self-diagnosis things and you just plug it in and it fixes itself.
Well, yes, it typically does. And a lot of these things
reboot.
A good reboot. But yeah. But no, so that's 2024 in a nutshell. And 2025, we'll see how the Cayman and Dodge Charger do against one another.
There
Maybe we'll take them out for a race.
I look forward to it.
get our hands on two of those vehicles.
And then we'll race it so hard that the batteries will die. Then we have to call a tow truck for both of them.
I don't think that'll happen. We live in California. There's chargers everywhere. And they charge very quick. I don't know if you've ever used a 350 kilowatt charger.
They charge quick.
Ooh. But for the cars that can do 250 plus, it takes about 15 minutes or less.
Wow. That is pretty fast.
Or you get a, you know, vehicle-to-vehicle charger and just charge.
Vehicle-to-vehicle charger? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Do that with a Lucid Air.
Ooh.
That's about probably the only car company that's doing that right now.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, a lot of the other ones are trying to figure out how to use it to power homes. And things of that
nature. But what about like BYD and VinFast? Are they going to have like the hot swap? Are they going to allow
that? For right now, BYD is still a non-factor in the United States and probably will be for all of time.
I feel like they're coming. They're coming. They're going to figure it out and they're going to come.
Build your dreams.
Yeah. Build your dreams. I mean, BYDs are interesting. I know we'll never get a Xiaomi here at all. Like,
what's a Xiaomi?
No, I can't say it right, but it's XOAMI. Yeah, Xiaomi.
Isn't that the one?
That's the cell phone brand
that
crashed because of the brakes.
Yeah. Because massive Brembo calipers, but the pads are a little itty bitty.
Yeah. But yeah, so in 2025, it'll be the year of the electric sports car. Hopefully,
we'll see.
We'll see. Or electric SUV. Or Corvette SUV.
The hybrid electric. Hybrid electric and battery EV sports cars. That's what we're hoping for 2025.
I just want to be able to buy like a 3 Series, you know.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
It might be a Noia class 3 Series. Oh my God.
With a new design language. All right, guys.
Last words?
Any last words?
I'm excited for the Zora. That's gonna be dope. And the Huracan.
Maybe you should buy one. I don't know.
The Huracan.
The Tama Mario.
The Tama Mario.
Once again, so hybrid electric sports car. Mm-hmm, I think 2025 is really just gonna be the year of the hybrid electric, fully electric sports car.
Do you think
they'll
bring back the Acura NSX? I thought they were killing that thing.
It's been dead. I think it died in like 2023. But it's last. I mean, that was also a hybrid electric sports car. Nobody just
they could bring it back. Like surprise,
they could.
I don't think Honda has the money nor the.
I hope they have the money. Prelude that the Prelude needs to come back and needs to be. Successful.
I think Honda needs to go because the NSX itself wasn't. It was a very non-Honda kind of thing.
It was kind of expensive and
it wasn't what the Hondas were known for. It was just that one special Honda.
Yeah.
But you know. Civic, you know, a high-powered, you know, Civic Type R with a hybrid motor, sure.
That'd be sick.
You know, and the Prelude could just introduce that next generation for Honda.
Yeah.
You know, where you can continue to keep sportiness and have even more fuel efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess the word of the day is hybrid electric sports car.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah,
Until next time.
Until next year.
Thanks.
Until next year. Bye, guys.
Bye.